Wonderful to be here together to worship God in spirit and truth. Amen? Amen. End of year review. You see it on the screen behind me. But before we get to the end of year review, we want to welcome our new family members here to Lincoln Park. It's great to have Rachel and Wes and Stephanie and John here with us today, and got to spend some time yesterday with John, me and Jim, and it was a good time. And so I just want to say the family here at Lincoln Park is growing. But it's growing because all of us are beginning to do our part. We're doing our part to evangelize. We're doing our part by utilizing the spiritual gifts that the Lord has blessed us with. And as we continue to utilize our gifts, as we continue to understand what the expectation is, then we can do nothing other than grow, right? Because when you do the will of God, growth happens, right? People realize that there's something different about Lincoln Park, and they want to come here. They want to worship here. They want to see, you know, what is it that makes us different? And what makes us different, brethren, is that we're all in. We're all in for Christ. But I do a lesson today to make sure that you're all in for Christ, because maybe not all of us are at the same place spiritually. Well, I know for a fact that we're not all at the same place spiritually. But, you know, if you think about evaluations, audits, you know, performance, job performance reviews, I mean, haven't we all done those? Haven't we all had to go through those? And you can't understand what's lacking in something unless you evaluate something, amen? And so at the end of this year, what better time to go ahead and to look at where we're at spiritually? Where is our faith? And so every one of us need to do this, you know, and it's the end of the year, and this is a normal type sermon, but I would hope that you would, and I've mentioned this before, do it quarterly. Don't wait to the end of the year. I don't want to wait to the end of the year to determine that, man, this year I failed horribly. I failed miserably. Well, no, I've wasted so much time then. You know, when I used to be in sales, for all those years I was in sales for 17 years, either as a manager or as an outside sales rep, we would have quarterly reviews. Why? Because I wanted to see where I stood, where my numbers stood, my profit and loss, right? I wanted to see where my sales numbers stood at the end of each quarter, instead of waiting to the end of the year to realize, uh-oh, there's a problem, right? And if we take regular stock of where we're at, you're going to see why that's very important. And brethren, this is a biblical concept. This isn't something that, you know, your preacher made up. It's a biblical concept. The scriptures speak to it. If you work, no matter what type of job you ever, no matter what type of job you work, you've gone through a yearly evaluation. You've gone through a performance review. Anybody here ever go through that? Of course you have, right? If you're a student, and we have many students in our congregation at various levels of their education, you take tests, do you not? Well, the test is a performance review. It's a review to see how well you know the material that has been taught. We're presented with evaluations all of our lives, and we can either choose to accept or reject those evaluations. But the wise individual is the one who accepts an accurate evaluation, makes an honest evaluation of where they're at. Self-evaluation, self-audit, self-reviews is an unavoidable process of life. I mean, don't we do that all the time? Shouldn't we be doing that all the time? If I'm a husband, shouldn't I take stock of to see, am I the best husband I could be, or am I lacking, right? And if I'm lacking, what does that do to my marriage? And if I'm a wife, right, shouldn't I have that similar type mindset? So that way, hopefully, the marriage, the relationship can become stronger. You know, if I look at my children, right, don't we look at our children? If we see something lacking in their faith or lacking in their moral character, don't we bring it to their attention, right? If you're an employee, as I said, there's these performance reviews, right? I mean, in every aspect of life, isn't there really some type of review or evaluation that should be taking place? Right? No matter if it's in the home or out of the home, there should always be some form of evaluation, review that's taking place. Brother, self-evaluation is unavoidable. It's an unavoidable process of life. And even though some individuals seek to eliminate self-evaluation, self-reviews by ignoring them or even hiding from them, other individuals, they abuse this concept. And they abuse it to the point of where they have an inflated ego, and maybe they even deceive themselves. You know, the Apostle Paul, he talks about this. He talks about it in Galatians chapter 6, verse 3 through 4. He says, "For if anyone thinks himself to be something when he's nothing, he what? He deceives himself," right? Have you ever met anybody who thinks they're a little bit better than what they really are? A little bit more spiritual than they really are, right? And so, brethren, we see this here in Scripture. These are biblical concepts. It is essential that as Christians we learn to practice self-review, self-evaluation correctly. We have to understand who the standard is. And the Apostle Paul here in Galatians, he's telling them who the standard is. "For if anyone thinks that he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But when each one examines his own work, examines his life, then he will have reason for boasting in regard to himself and not in regard to one, not in regard to another." And so while each of us enjoys being a part of an active working congregation, does anybody enjoy being part of an active working congregation, right? We must be cautious, though, that we don't passively take comfort in the teaching, the education, the edification, the giving, and all the ministries of our congregation, all the while maybe not necessarily fulfilling our own responsibilities. Because while we have an active congregation and we do many things well here at Lincoln Park, isn't there a faith outside of this building? Aren't there things that are supposed to take place outside of this building? So that doesn't mean because I made a weekly contribution to the Lord's church that I've done my part and that I could just go home and I could be happy with myself and I could live Monday through Saturday until my next contribution thinking, man, what a good Christian I am. Brethren, that doesn't excuse us from helping others Monday through Saturday outside of this building. We are always called to do what? To use our financial resources, to use our time and our energy and our spiritual gifts to the benefit of those outside of this church building, those outside of this community. How many times have you run into somebody who has need? Do we just overlook the need and just say, well, I'll pray for you? What does James even say? James says, what use is that, right? If you see somebody who has need and say, hey, I pray for you, but you don't help them with their need, it's useless. And so, brethren, we need to make sure that as we go through the scriptures here this morning, that we understand what the Apostle Paul, through the Holy Scriptures, is trying to tell us. In Paul's writings to the churches of Galatia, he writes about their responsibility to examine their own individual work. It is their responsibility to evaluate their deeds and their actions. That's what Lewis was talking about this morning in his Bible class. I think about this for a second. We must all be honest with ourselves. Because when you're honest with yourselves about your strengths and about your weaknesses, then our individual faith can grow. But what happens when we're not honest with ourselves? What happens when we have an overinflated view of ourselves, but really aren't honest with ourselves? Brethren, listen to what it says in Luke chapter 12 and verse 2. "But there is nothing covered up that will not be revealed. There will be nothing hidden that will not be made known." You see, brethren, the Lord knows exactly who you are. He knows exactly the work that you do. He knows your heart. He knows your mind. He knows everything about you. There is nothing hidden that will not be revealed. And so some might ask, but as a Christian, do I have to partake of it? Is it necessary to partake of this this evaluation, this yearly review, hopefully quarterly review? Well, it's to understand, brethren, that this review is to protect you. It's to protect us from thinking that we're something that we're not. It's an essential protection against self-deceit. Brethren, I'm here to tell you this morning that it's easier sometimes for a person to lie to himself about himself, and they could do it more convincingly than he could lie to anyone else about any other thing. Brethren, it's easier for a person to lie about himself more convincingly than to lie about anything and everything else. Brothers and sisters, Christians are not immune from this mindset. Look at the scripture reading from this morning one more time. 2 Corinthians 13:5. Don't let this be lost on you. It says, "Test yourselves. Test yourselves to see if you are in the faith. Examine yourselves." So is my sermon this morning a biblical concept? Absolutely. Paul is telling the churches in Corinth, the church in Corinth, that they need to examine themselves. Do you not recognize this about yourselves, that Jesus Christ is in you? Unless what? Unless you indeed fail the test. And that's what I said here this morning. We have performance reviews as employees, and then as students, they take tests to see how well they know the material. Well, don't be afraid to evaluate yourself unless you're afraid that you're going to fail the test. And so, brothers and sisters, Christians are not immune from this. We could all be tempted to evaluate ourselves in comparisons to others. Do you know anybody who's ever compared their Christian faith to somebody else's Christian faith? And you know, you start to think about it, right? Hey, I might not be perfect, but I'm better than Diane. And she's my spiritual mother, so I love her. So, Diane, you're wonderful. So I had to use you as an example. I'm just looking, you're right there, right? Hey, I might not be bad, but I'm better than Pat. But, brother, so we've all seen how people, they like to compare themselves one to another, do they not? And so oftentimes the problem with this line of thinking is, Pat is not the standard. Diane is not the standard. Who's the standard? Jesus Christ is the standard. The scriptures are the standard. And so if I'm going to evaluate my something, it's not going to be against Aiden or Christy or Chuck. I'm going to evaluate myself according to the standard in which I'll be judged. Because I'll stand before God. And as Lewis was saying this morning, I don't get to stand before God and Lewis represents me. No, I will stand before God on my own merits, right? There is nothing hidden that will not be revealed, for God knows all things, amen? And so, brethren, we need to remember these things. And so as you think about this for a minute, we think about the fact that if we are ignorant of the proper standard, we will make the wrong evaluations for our lives. In fact, there are many false teachers in the world, is there not? Are there not many false standards in the world? And so if you're going to measure yourself according to false standards, let's say I measure myself against weaker Christians, or let's say I measure myself against a worldly person who makes no pretense of godliness at all in his life, but they simply are just trying to justify their actions, am I going to arrive at the proper standard? No, of course not. And so, brethren, we need to realize what Paul also says to the people of Corinth. He says, they, who are they in context? Christians. Christians measure themselves by themselves. They compare themselves with themselves. They are without understanding. Brethren, it's important to understand who we measure ourselves against. While other Christians' lives can encourage us, they can teach us, they can help us gain understanding, we need to understand that while it's helpful, it's not the proper standard for evaluating oneself. The proper standard for evaluating oneself is by Holy Writ. It's by the Word of God. It's by the example set by Jesus Christ in his life and his ministry. You know, I have known many people who have measured themselves against other Christians only to be completely disheartened. Why? Because that Christian eventually fails sometimes in their faith, and the one that you held in such high regard now lets you down. And so all of a sudden, if my faith is in Christ and not in man, I won't be let down. If my faith is in man but not necessarily in Christ, I can be let down more often than not. And so it's important to remember these things. I've read that Christian evaluations really entail three basic things. First and foremost, we need to know our own heart. Amen? We need to know our own heart, and this requires us to know the understanding of our own feelings. It requires us to understand the knowing of our own motives. Ask yourself, are you following the Lord because of what you feel for Christ within your heart? Or are you following the Lord merely going through the motions by observing meaningless habits? What do I mean, meaningless habits? If you just go through the motions because, you know, you're called to be here, but, you know, doesn't John 4:24 say worship in spirit? The proper spirit and truth? Well, if I just go through the motions, I really don't want to be here. I'd rather be in bed right now sleeping because it was a late night last night. Do you think God's pleased with your worship? Of course he isn't, right? You have to want to be here. And you have to worship God with excitement in your heart. David said, I was excited when they said, let us go to the house of the Lord. We need to be excited when we come to the house of the Lord. Brethren, we need to be excited when we realize that our hearts can either convict us or betray us. We need to understand, brethren, that when you think about your motives, you think about your heart, God knows your heart. You're not going to fool God. God, I've said it lots of times, God's never sitting on his throne looking down over earth and saying, I didn't see that coming. God knows all things. He knows all things. He's seen all things, brethren. And so as we think about these things, ask yourself a few questions. The second thing about evaluating your faith that we need to understand is that we need to know our influence. Think about that for a moment. Know your influence. What do I mean by that? We need to examine the impact that our lives are having on friends. What's the impact that your life is having on family members? What's the impact that your faith is having on your spouse or your children or your fellow associates, right, in the workplace? Brethren, we need to understand these things. Ask yourself if your influence is hurting, if your influence is leading others to God, or is it leading people further away from God? Is it hurting their thoughts and their impressions of God? I've said it many times. How you live your life matters as a disciple of Jesus Christ. Because you could either bring shame upon the church or you could bring honor to the church, right? You could bring shame upon the cross and Jesus Christ or you could bring honor, right? Jesus calls us to live according to his example, amen? And so, brethren, think about it. The third aspect of evaluating your faith is knowing your deeds. We must ask ourselves, what am I actually doing for the Lord? Right? I'm not talking about the weekly contribution. I'm talking about what are you actively doing for the Lord right now? Think about it. In the past month, what have you done for the Lord? What have you done for the church? In the past quarter, what have you done for the Lord? What have you done for the church? In the past year, what have you done for the Lord? What have you done for the church? Do you see why that question matters? You see why you just don't wait to the end of the year to evaluate yourself? Because if you haven't done anything all year, you're not growing and maturing in your faith, you're not studying to show yourself approved, you're not really sure what standard it is that you're to live by, do you see why that could be a problem? Right? So don't let a whole year go by that's wasted. Regularly review your faith. See where you're at in the Lord. Brethren, it's so crucial. Ask yourself, am I spiritually productive? Ask yourself, do my actions help the Lord's cause or do my actions hurt the Lord's cause? Brethren, these responsibilities are not an effort to make us feel good about ourselves, but are simply the responsibility that we have to accurately examine ourselves, as Paul said in the scripture reading here this morning. No one else has that responsibility. The elders, they watch out for us, right? They spiritually guide us and protect our souls, but they're not the official evaluators. Your wife and your spouse is not the official evaluator. Your preacher is not the official evaluator. Your spouse or your children are not. No one else's evaluation of our lives will change anything unless we are willing to make proper application. I can't tell you how many times I've counseled married couples or counseled couples in general. I could give you all the principles how to be the best spouse, the best boyfriend, the best girlfriend that you could ever be. But if you don't apply the information that I give, well, it's useless. And anybody who's ever done any type of counseling, you'll quickly realize there are some who are going to take information, make proper application. There are some going to take, say, hey, I appreciate the information, and keep on doing the same thing they've always done. And brethren, that's part of life. But we need to understand that as we evaluate ourselves, we need to be honest with ourselves. These responsibilities, again, they're not to make us feel good about ourselves, but we use it as an opportunity to examine ourselves. Each of us bears this primary responsibility. And while it is difficult, it is absolutely necessary. All members of the Lord's church have obligations, do we not? Does our God and our Father not call us as members of the body of Christ to love one another, to encourage one another, to forgive one another, support one another, carry out our responsibilities with the proper spirit and the proper attitude, to respect one another, to bear each other's burdens, to act peacefully towards one another so long as it's dependent upon you? I mean, doesn't God call us to care for our sick members and on and on and on? Brethren, this is hard work, but it's our responsibility. It's hard work, and it doesn't come naturally. That's why we transform our minds with the Word of God. We realize what the proper standard is. And so to be effective, brethren, to be effective as a brother or sister in Christ, your faith needs to have sincerity. You know what you're not going to do? If you're really not sincere and don't have a sincere faith, you're not going to love your brethren. You're not going to help bear their burdens because there's no sincerity to your faith. But if there is sincerity to your faith, you're going to forgive others and love others and bear their burdens and help them in their times of need. And you're going to care for the sick members. Brethren, sincerity is crucial. One must be honest about the way they are living. Because if you're not honest about your faith and where you're at and how you're living, you're never going to come to the proper standard. Life's most difficult form of honesty is honesty about oneself. I'm going to say that one more time. Life's most difficult form of honesty is honesty with self about self. Brethren, you think about it for a moment. Think about this slide for a minute. We need to ask ourselves, have I become desensitized to sin? As you're evaluating, reviewing your faith, have you become desensitized to sin? You know what that is, right? You see sin, and it doesn't really bother you anymore, right? It's just kind of like the dirt in the house or the things that are left kind of just disheveled, right? If it's disheveled long enough, it just becomes normal, right? And if you're around sin enough and you're not really living according to the proper standard, it just becomes normal. So are you desensitized to sin? Am I offended by truth? When you hear truth, right, does it offend you? And does it offend you because really you're not honest with where you're at spiritually? Have I become indifferent to good works? I think about this next passage this next slide. Brethren, with these questions we need to ask ourselves, with these thoughts in mind, ask yourself, does worldliness that opposes godliness, does it bother you? Does worldliness that opposes godliness bother you? You know what I mean by that, right? Right? To where if you have worldliness in your life, let's just say transgenderism, let's say homosexuality, let's say abortion, all these different things that can be named. Does worldly views on these matters that oppose godliness, does it bother you? Or have you got to a point to where you say, well, it's not my problem? Think about the second one. Am I willing to put the needs of a brother or sister above my own? Think about the next one. Do I give to God first or out of my leftovers? This is a good one. Do I give to God first or out of my leftovers? You know, you think about that. You go back to Cain and Abel. What was Cain's problem? Right? He gave of the leftovers. He kept the first fruits. He kept the best. He gave of the leftovers. He thought God should be okay with that. In your faith and in your spiritual walk, do you give God leftovers? Am I putting stumbling blocks before brothers and sisters, brethren? These are thoughts that should be on our mind as we evaluate ourselves. And how is it that I put stumbling blocks before brothers and sisters? Do I make choices? Do I make choices in my life that demonstrate that other things are more important than God? Are there things in your life that you demonstrate by how you go about certain things that they're more important than God? Think about it. Work or God? Which is more important? School or God? What's more important? Fitting in with others or God? Which is more important to you? Material things, wealth or God? Which is more important? The way we look or God? Activities we want to be involved in? Or our allegiance to God? Family or God? Do you see why that's an important question? Do you see why all of these are important questions? Do you see why we're taking stock of where we're at in our faith? Brethren, we have to ask ourselves that, am I holding myself to the proper standard? Brethren, as I get ready to close this down, ask yourself, do your daily actions prove the answers to the above questions are true? The questions that are on the screen behind me, do your daily actions prove that your answers to those questions are true? Maybe that's why we don't like to evaluate ourselves. I think of the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 27. He says, I discipline my body. I make it my slave so that as I teach others, as I preach to others, I myself may not be disqualified. I discipline my body. I discipline my mind. I make it my slave so that after I have preached to others, I myself may not be disqualified. Brethren, do you discipline yourself? Do you discipline yourself in the Lord? This is meant to be an evaluation. It's meant to be a review. The hardest honesty is honesty about oneself. Amen? And it's difficult sometimes to answer these questions truthfully. It's easier to deceive others than it is to deceive yourself oftentimes. And so, brethren, we need to remember these things. As I shut this down, ask yourselves, do your lives demonstrate discipline? Maybe it's time to do some honest evaluating. Amen? Maybe it's time to do some honest evaluating of ourselves and make the changes that are necessary. Discipline your mind. Discipline your mind and your life will follow. The things that you do in this life will echo an eternity. The things that you do in this life will echo an eternity. It's one of my favorite lines from one of my favorite movies. I just watched it and I was thinking about the sermon that I put together and I had to add it in there. It's from Maximus. Right? If you guys know who Maximus is, the things you do in this life will echo for an eternity. Did you know that's a biblical concept? Because what do the scriptures tell us? When I stand before God, I'll give an account of the things that I have done in this life. And it will echo for an eternity because my life will determine whether I live in heaven for an eternity or I live in hell for an eternity. Brethren, who knew that Maximus was teaching biblical concepts? Brothers and sisters, you think about this for a second. We're going to go into 2025. In the coming days, it's going to be 2025, and we all like to make our New Year's resolutions. Hopefully, I lose some weight this year. If you guys could hold me accountable, I would really appreciate it, because I need it, right? The blood pressure's going up, the weight's going up. Nothing's going in the right direction in that aspect, right? There's some other things going right, but that's not. So I'm asking for your accountability on that, right? And when we ask for accountability, we want it. We need it. Right? If you need accountability with your faith, we got many men and women in this congregation, including myself, who would love to be your accountability partner, who would love to be your mentor, who would love to help you to take your faith that is not as strong as you maybe want it to be or need it to be in 2024, and you could take that next step. Brethren, I'm here to tell you I wouldn't be standing before you this morning if it wasn't for various mentors that I've had along the way who have influenced my life. And I venture to say that no matter what your vocation is, there's probably people who have been instrumental to getting to where you're at today. Amen? Maybe it's a coach. Maybe it's a teacher. Maybe it's an elder. Maybe it's a shepherd, right? Maybe it's a minister. Whoever it may be, there's people who are instrumental in your life. Take stock of where you're at. Be willing to be honest with yourself. And as we move into 2025, I pray that it's going to be the best year of our collective faith. I pray it's going to be the year that you make it your best year, to the year to where that you've done more for the Lord than you've done in years past. Brethren, because we need to make sure that we're doing all that God requires of us. If you're hearing this message this morning and you're not a child of God, you have an opportunity to put on Christ in baptism. You have an opportunity to have your sins washed away. You have the opportunity to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And brethren, be added to the church, but it starts by going down into the waters of baptism. There are too many false teachings out there when it comes to this. But I'm here to tell you, faith, salvation begins in the waters of baptism. Come forward as we stand and sing the song of invitation. If that